Terms like fake news and alternative facts are just a couple of the new media-related phrases that have come about during the Trump administration. Can the general public agree on what's true and what is factual? That may be the key first step in bridging the current political and cultural divide, at least to some extent. In her new book, The Trouble with Reality, On the Media, co-host Brooke Gladstone takes on the current battle with truth, and she's with us. Brooke, your book has reality in the title. How would you define reality in our current environment, and do we kind of get the reality we deserve?
There's an objective reality out there which we can't comprehend, right? We are just too limited. The world is too complex. There are certain colors we can't see, certain sounds we can't hear, endless numbers of smells we can't smell, and certainly countless lives that we can't comprehend. And so what we do in order to function in the world is to rebuild one along simpler lines and move in and hunker down. And those are our individual realities, which is different from objective reality. The reality that we live in, I think, is neither the one we deserve nor the one we desire. It is the one we expect. It is the one that combines the seen, that is to say, what we can view with our own eyes, data that we understand and can demonstrate to be true, things we see, the known world, with things that we can't see. That is to say, our values, our histories, our traditions, our communities, the things that shape our worldview that we don't even know that's doing it. They marinate in those things, and that creates a world that we live in.
Is there a laziness to that from the standpoint that most of us are not willing to risk a lot, even when we see injustice, even when we're confused by facts being called something else?
I don't think it's conscious laziness. We, like water, flow into the spaces that fit us and then that don't offer us resistance. And to be honest, Steve, there's something that makes you sick when you... when you reach past what you understand to be true to something that contradicts that, it can create an almost traumatic queasiness. I mean, part of the reason why I wrote this book is because a publisher came to me and said, you know, there's just so much stress out there in half the nation. Why is it so much worse? Why does it feel so much worse for people, for some people, than anything else? Because let's face it, we've all had elections not go our way. We've all had presidents we didn't like. We've all seen policies enacted that we oppose, and we can get angry, enraged, even desperate. But this kind of feeling seemed to go beyond politics or a president. It seemed to be existential. You know, the phrase moral panic is really existential panic. People think I'm talking about morality, but I'm really talking about, you know, if you look it up, it's existential. It's just with such a small book, you can't fit the words both rumination and existential in the subtitle, so I picked one. And and so I would try to examine the roots of that, which is why I realized that it's because fundamental principles on which we built our world were shattered. They were smashed. And this has to do with how we regard our democracy and our nation and the role of facts and a whole variety of other things that created the bedrock on which we built the worlds that we lived. So this book takes you many steps back so that you can see how you created it and offers a couple of paths to reconstruction, which I do not... people think that I say you have to get out there. You have to understand people who, you know, hate immigrants and things like that. No. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you have to see them. It's so easy just not to see them. If you don't see them, if you can't even guess how they voted the way they did, why they voted the way they did, just as they couldn't see you not seeing the disaster they believed was heading to America, then there's no way to reconstruct a reality along more durable lines.
These things, these differences, were they not already ever present? And were we, if Hillary Clinton had won, should people still be trying to see each other in this sense? I guess Is there something going on with us as individuals in our realities to have this outcome had to happen in order for people to start thinking this way?
I know what you're saying. And the fact is that a lot of people, the people, many of whom voted for Trump, definitely felt their reality being shaken, their nation changing, risks coming from abroad, a sense of loss of power, a world that wasn't a world that they recognized. It wasn't the world they grew up in. Also, they were faced every 4 years with a bunch of politicians coming in, making promises, and then vanishing into their secret deals, as far as they could tell, and they were being ignored. So this world that many of us found comfortable and familiar enough presented no ease or satisfaction or relaxation for people who voted to blow it up, which essentially is, you know, what happened. This system isn't working. You're saying it's working, but it isn't working for us. This does not match what we believe about our world.
Brooke Gladstone is co-host of On the Media, which you can hear on KJZZ Saturday mornings at 5. She's also the author of the new book, The Trouble with Reality.